When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Don't Nearly View system deal. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Pass me my medicine and my 3 points between the two players now. It's just kind of how it feels, basically.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello everybody, my name is James, welcome to another Planet FPL Clash of the Correspondents. And on this week's COTC, we've got the Claret and Blue Derby, no offence to the Burnley fans, ahead of blank game week 29. Let me firstly introduce you our West Ham United correspondent, Chris Stone. How are you, Chris?
Yep, all good. Waiting for tonight, or this afternoon, I should say.
Yeah, very rarely for a COTC. We're actually recording kind of near enough live on the morning of tonight's Europa games for both teams. Lee's team's got one tonight as well. Our Aston Villa correspondent Lee Jackson's here. How are you, Lee?
Very good, mate.
Lee's been massively looking forward to this, I can assure you. But we'll get on to your team. Firstly, Chris, how important is tonight? Is this the biggest game of West Ham's season? Might be the biggest game of Aston Villa's, actually, by the way.
I don't know if it's the biggest game of the season, but it's certainly, it's up there, yeah. I mean, it's I suppose, more so for Moyes, you know, because if he wins that, then he's in that position where as soon as he loses, everyone's on his back. So it's tricky for that. So I think for continuity and keeping momentum going, yeah, it's the biggest game in that sense. It's a tough one, though. I mean, I'd be disappointed if we don't win, but it's not going to be easy. But at least we're at home. I think that home advantage does give us an advantage. We have played them twice and beaten them, but then the knockouts is a different story.
It helps that you've got the experience of these nights now, though.
Yeah, I think that does help. But then there's an element of that comes with a little bit of expectation. In the first year, you have that kind of euphoria, you know, whatever. Every stage you get past is a bonus. And no one has that expectation now where I think people, oh, it's only Freiburg kind of thing, but they probably expect to get a result. Maybe not in the next games because some of the teams get harder, you know, in terms of their status as European teams. But yeah, we've got that experience does help, definitely. I mean, obviously the players you've got there have got that experience as well as you've got even the new players coming in, you know, they've got experience of being in Europe. So I'm hopeful.
Lee, we need West Ham to win tonight, don't we?
Absolutely. I was going to say, I think it's one of the biggest games of our season, the West Ham game tonight. Knock a German team out, that's ideal for our coefficient, isn't it?
For those who don't know, obviously, I'm a Tottenham fan. Lee's obviously supporting Villa. We're probably in contention. One of us is probably going to finish fourth, the other one probably fifth as it stands. And it's basically England and Germany are nearly neck and neck in terms of the coefficient of whether the English Premier League gets the extra place for fifth that goes in the Champions League. So listen, I'm not going to be sitting in the living room shouting you on, Chris, but yeah, I don't mind if you win tonight. let me put it that
I
way.
I will be.
What do you mean? If you don't mind if we go through this round, as long as we go out the next, you'll be happy.
Is this your biggest game of the season tonight, Lee, or was that Sunday?
No, I think it was Sunday. I think I'd echo the sentiments that you had, which is that if we'd have won on Sunday, finished, we could almost start humming that Champions League anthem. Whereas now, it's anything could happen.
It's a lot been made of, obviously, the system that Emery played going 5-3-2.
Yeah, and it's easy to say that now. And even if he did maybe get this one slightly wrong, going with a back five, because, like you said, it killed the atmosphere in Villa Park, he hasn't got many wrong. So, you know,
no,
he's
that's
got
very
so much credit in the bank that if he did fuck this one up, then fine, like, we'll move on. Like, it's not like he's doing that every week. And also, I think I'm right in saying that every time we've lost this season, we've won the following game, bar one. So we've got a good habit this season, touch wood, of responding well to a defeat and coming back and finding form again very quickly.
Well, I'm more than happy if you win tonight, mate. That's also good for the coefficient. And I don't mind if you get beat by West Ham on Sunday. Chris, I could do you winning twice this week. I don't know what's going on.
What's that?
I could do you winning twice this week, tonight and on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah, true. Wanting, Tottenham fans wanting favours of us. But yeah, I mean, Sunday's possible. I think a lot depends on obviously on tonight's games in terms of the results that teams that both teams have, and also does it get wrapped up in normal time or extra time?
Do you feel like your league season's done, Chris, or are you still feeling like you're competing for a Europa place, be it Europa League or Europa Conference League?
Yeah, I don't think it's done. I mean, I think it's we need to get the results. Like the Burnley result was a bad one. I think we need to win those sort of games to be competing up there. But I wouldn't say it's done. No, not by a long way. I think ironically, the further we progress in the competition, the more of those kind of Burnley results you might end up with, and then yeah, a season would be done.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's some really strong teams left in Europa League, your Liverpools, your Bayer Leverkusens, AC Milan's, etc., which is exciting. It's also going to make it very difficult to win it. But, you know, if you suddenly land towards a semi-final, a little bit like what's happened in the last couple of years for you, you know that the carrot is actually in that competition rather than the league, right? You win the Europa League, you go in the Champions League.
It's like anything, isn't it? I mean, you know, even like any sort of final, if you're a few weeks away from it, you know, players don't want to get injured, all that kind of stuff. That, you know, that they're human beings at the end of the day. I know they're professionals, but that creeps into it. But yeah, I'm still hopeful I think we still need to keep going in the league, because it's not like last year in the conference. You know, there isn't as many easy teams now getting past this round. You've got some big teams in there as well.
Yeah, agreed. Lee, going through tonight's, obviously, I know it's really important to the fans there, because it's obviously been a long time without a trophy. Can you see it, though, as you get towards the end of this competition, the games obviously do get a bit more difficult in the Conference League. You've obviously got a challenging game against Ajax tonight. Is that a concern for the Premier League running for you in terms of managing both? Because we've obviously had a few things recently, like with McGinn's red card, Boubacar Kamara's injury, beginning to look a little bit thinner in terms of the squad.
Yeah, definitely. Carlos is still out. Constance has only just come back. Torres has just come back. It's one of those things where I think if we had a fully fit squad, I wouldn't be too concerned. Ramsey's touch and go for tonight, hopefully back for the weekend. But yeah, with the injuries we've got, we're going to be looking to people like Tim O'Robinham and saying, we need you, mate. We need you to step up and do a good job here. So it is concerning. Well, I say two games a week. It might not be two games a week after tonight, who knows? But yeah, if we do progress, that'll certainly be a challenge going forward for Emery to manage that.
Do you think the squad's capable of managing that? Because what I mean is, in the conference, in the group stage, you can rotate, and you know that. Once you hit the quarterfinals and stuff, then there's a real balancing act, which I think is difficult to manage if you're not used to it.
And the other thing is, a lot of the Villa fans are still haunted a bit by the O'Neill seasons, where he rotated in Europe because he was so determined to get top four. Played a reserve team in like the quarterfinals of the UEFA Cup away at CSKA Moscow. Went out of the UEFA Cup with a sole focus on top four. And then the following weekend lost to Stoke at home. And from then on, we just imploded and ended up finishing sixth. So there's a bit of that where a lot of the Villa fans are like, don't rotate in Europe. We want a trophy type thing.
Is there in danger of an implosion here? I'm kind of treating you in my mind as one of the big clubs right now, and you are a big club, but I mean in terms of your position in the league, because you've done so well. I keep, all year we've had, well, why aren't you mentioning Villa in the title chat and stuff like that? That we've had a lot of that from neutrals. So now we're going to put you there and say, well, if this goes wrong, we're going to say, right, you've pissed it up the wall, basically. Is there a danger here that you begin to nosedive on the rest of the season?
There is, but I still have faith in Emery. He's been in the job 13, 14 months now, maybe even more, 15, 16 months. And consistently since he came in last season, we were having top four form. So I've got full faith that he will be able to see us over the line. But yeah, Sunday didn't help. That's a real, real step back. And I think, like you said, he probably did get that wrong, going with the back five. But equally, if Luca Dean pops that header in first half and we go in at half-time 1-0, the atmosphere in Villa Park probably feels very different coming out second half. And maybe we do go on and get a result. It's fine margins. And we did limit you in that first half to absolutely very few chances.
Yeah, so as I said on Monday's pod, it's just kind of a fine line. And I think, you know, you'd even said to me offline prior to the game, you'd take a draw. But it kind of had that vibe. And I understand that because the position of the two teams is like, keep the advantage. You know, both teams have got a difficult run in, etc. The problem was, I obviously went in May, where you basically, you had to beat us. This time you didn't. But the prize on the end of this one this weekend was obviously much bigger than the prize in May. I know for you to get into Europe after so long was great and a big deal, but the difference between getting the Europa Conference League and the Champions League are two very different animals, even financially for the club. Just touch on that briefly, because your financial results were a little bit alarming.
Yeah, so for anyone who hasn't seen, 120 million loss in the latest financial year, which is 22-23, which they're saying is the biggest loss in any of the top five leagues in Europe for a team. It's worth saying for anyone who's not aware that FFP runs over a three-year period. So as long as our losses over the full three-year period are less than 100 million, then we're okay. And in the previous year, we were in profit because we sold Grealish in that year. But it's going to be close.
That's going to fall off now, the Grealish money, though, isn't it?
That'll be in the first one of the three. Yeah, in the next one, that will slip out. So the next 2 years have got to be in the green, basically, which something like Champions League revenue wouldn't hit this next one, but it would hit the following one if we qualified, would help that, obviously. But yeah, it's a little bit concerning because that is a lot in 1 year. I believe they can write off 60 million or so in COVID losses, but again, that will fall out eventually, and that won't be in this period in a couple of years' time. So yeah, it's tight. We've got to certainly be really careful with how and what we spend.
There's speculation: if you don't make top four, you've got to sell.
I think we've got lots of sellable assets though in that squad.
Oh, definitely. Like
the age of Kamara, Louise, and stuff.
But you don't want to lose these players, do you? You're building something.
But equally, if we have to, I don't think it's a complete disaster. Like I said earlier, broken record, full trust in Emery, that if we did have to do that, that's okay. We'd manage.
Your results this year, Lee, just having a look for them in 2024 so far. So you've beaten Burnley, Sheffield United, Fulham, Forest, Luton. You've drawn at Everton. You've lost to Manchester United twice, lost to Tottenham, lost to Newcastle, and also lost to Chelsea in the cup. Yeah. It looks like a theme now where you're losing to the better teams, beating the poorer teams, and there's a draw with Everton in there as well. Is that a concern considering the fixture list you've got left for the rest of this season?
Potentially, but then I think back to the Arsenal and the City games where we played big teams and managed to get results. So but yeah, it's been a bit of a shaky 2024 so far. There's certainly been some performances in there where you look at Burnley, where we scored in the last minute at home to Villa Park to win it. It's been stuttering in parts. Some of those results, it feels like we sort of scrambled over the line. The Luton game away, 3-2 as well. So it is a little bit alarming. It certainly doesn't feel like the confidence that we had when we beat Arsenal and Man City, where we were tongue-in-cheek saying, oh, we're in a title race here. Now it's sort of like, just dig in, get the results that we need to get that top four finish.
So, Chris, with that in mind, considering the results Villa have had, where do West Ham fall into that category? Is that Villa playing a top team this Sunday, or is it middle of the road, or is it a bad team?
It depends what day you get us. Could be any of them on any given day.
We know what we get because it's Sunday 2 o'clock every week, isn't it? So I guess it's just a case of which team turns up.
I mean, I'm fairly optimistic. I mean, I guess it's both teams are going to play strong sides tonight. So there's no advantage or disadvantage there. It's going to come down to the the extra time element and how much he's taken out of them physically. I mean, in terms of, obviously, like you say, West Ham had the experience of the last few years, so there's quite a high element of the squad that have got that experience of playing the two games. I wouldn't say we've got a lot of strength in depth, so that's potentially an issue, but I don't think, you know, I think that's negated by the fact that Villa are in a similar position at the moment with their injuries. I certainly think they'll be up for it, but if, you know, if you've had a tough game and you know, you come through either extra time or penalties, the euphoria of getting through can kind of take it, you know, take a little bit off the players. Our biggest problem is mistakes at the back. You know, that's what costs us so much. We give away so many goals that other teams don't seem to. So I think we're still pushing. I think we're pushing in the league, but it just seems to be down to what, who turns up on the day and, you know, do they make the mistakes?
In terms of your results this year, Chris, we can look at yours rather than break it down of who you've played and good and bad results. We can just look at when Pakatar's played and when he hasn't, can't we?
Yeah, it does come. It has been that way. I mean, I wouldn't even say it feels that way. It is that way. he's made a major difference. I think obviously part of that as well, Kudus was out for part of that period as well. So that made it worse. But yeah, having him in the team and having him fit is a issue if he's not there.
Has he become your most important player?
Yeah, he has, really. I mean, he does a lot. He's got all those sort of tricks and sort of silliness, but he's got the skill, but he works hard as well. And there's an element of there's certain things you don't see. I think, I can't remember what game it was, not the Burnley one, it's the one before, where he was kind of going around before the game, you know, kind of getting the players up and, you know, kind of G'ing them up before the game. So he's influential, and the other players seem to perform better around him. He lifts their performances.
Who's your most important player, Lee?
Luis, I think. Maybe even Martinez. He's made some fantastic stops this season.
He's had a good
season. Kept us in games. He's had a really good season. And part of that, why I say Martinez, is that actually if we lost him, Robin Olsen, I haven't got much trust in. It's that step down. Whereas actually, Luis is incredibly important. He hasn't missed many games this season, but equally, with a fully fit squad, you'd be saying, well, Kamara, McGinn, Tielemans, maybe we'd be all right. But Watkins is the other one where he's been fit the whole season. And I don't know what we would do if Watkins was injured. He might play with Bailey Diaby, Bailey Tielemans through the middle. Or does he look to John Duran and say, you know what, I trust you, come in and do the Watkins job. But I hope we don't have to see that at any point this season, to be honest.
Are we assuming that the back five at the weekend, and we know that in any case, out of possession in a lot of games, you can funnel into a back five or even back sixes on occasion and kind of create a box in front of that back six. But in terms of the actual starting positions, are we assuming this back five was a one-off and that's it?
I think so. Yeah, I'd be surprised if he goes again with it, because it didn't work in terms of sitting deep. You might see it when we go to Emirates and when we go to Etihad. Maybe for those away games, you might think do that, something similar. Because like we said, that first half against Spurs, it was close to working. It nearly worked.
Certainly in terms of nullifying us. We created nothing.
Yeah. And if we can nullify Arsenal and City away from home, then brilliant. Maybe that was a test run almost to say, is this the tactic I want to employ when we go to those tough away games? Because, I mean, we went to Anfield and tried to play and lost 3-0. We went to St James's and tried to play and lost 5-1. So maybe he wants to try a different approach for these big away games.
Do you think if Ramsey had been fit on Sunday, he'd have played the same way? Do you think it was an element of that?
I do.
He didn't have enough of the attacking parts.
I think if Ramsey had been fit, he'd have started and he'd have probably gone with the back four. I think he didn't have enough trust because it would have been Rodgers. My predicted 11 had Rodgers in it because I thought, who else is going to play on the left? But I just don't think he thinks Rodgers is ready for it yet to start a Premier League game, especially a big Premier League game like the one on Sunday. Okay. But yeah, we've still got to go to the Emirates, we've still got to go to the Etihad, and we've still got to play Liverpool at home, in case anyone didn't realise. because everyone this week's been saying, oh, Tottenham, they're going to have a huge say in the title race, aren't they? Hi. We've still got to play all three,
Lee,
as well.
This is why I said we've got to be critical of you as well now as well, because we are treating you seriously, mate, and you've had an outstanding season. And by the way, Sunday didn't define anything, right? I'm well aware you're still 2 points above my team, and my game in hand's Chelsea away, and yeah, we don't ever win there, mate. So it's still advantage you as it stands, just it's a lot closer. Would you, Chris, would you take a draw on Sunday?
Yeah, in terms of where, I guess I would, in terms of where Villa are in the league, but I think it's also a little bit of an opportunity as well.
Would you,
No, we've got to win.
Because
I don't think it'll be easy, and I don't necessarily think we will win, but we need a win. We just need to get back on track.
But you can do that tonight.
Make sure. Yeah,
drawing at West Ham is not a disaster result, mate. My team's going to go down a couple of weeks, and I absolutely know, Chris, that you'll play the game of your lives, because you always do. So we've both got to go to West Ham in the next couple.
Yeah, I just think psychologically, though, if we draw and Spurs win at Fulham, then you'd go above us, wouldn't you?
Well, we can put the pressure on you Saturday, yeah. There's no guarantee we'll do that.
Oh, you're on Saturday, yeah. So you could be above us by the time this game kicks off. That's why I say a draw's just not good enough, I don't think.
I'm hoping so, darling. Chris, are you on free hit this week?
No.
Are you?
About 7, I think.
Yeah, I'm on free.
Okay, interesting. For clarity, I'm not. So, Chris, just give us an overall, what's your plan in terms of transfers this week? And does it involve any West Ham or Villa players?
No, I mean, I've already got Watkins. So I had Cash. Got Bowen and Areola. Bowen, I'd kept through just because I had the value in him, so it doesn't seem much point selling him. And I've got Son. So there's not really many more outside of that. I've got Luton to play, not in the year. I've got Doherty as well. So, in terms of players bringing in, I don't think I'll bother with transfers. I'm more likely roll a transfer.
So you'll have you still got Cash?
Yes.
Did you say?
Yeah. And I've got Taylor as well, I think. So, yeah, I mean, if I was going to bring someone in, it'd be defensively, but then I'd be taken out. I don't think it really works.
Probably sounds like Tony's the only big one you might be missing, I think, in terms of what free hitters will do.
Yeah, it's difficult because I've obviously got Solanke, Haaland and Watkins. Bournemouth are a bit of a funny one, aren't they? They've not really kind of done. Solanke's playing all right, but he's carrying that injury. He's not scoring, he's doing everything else but. So, and they've still got some okay fixtures coming up in the next few, really. But yeah, he would probably be, if I was going to do one, he would be the only one I think that I would make this week.
Lee, for Chris's benefit, do you think Matty Cash will start at the weekend?
Yeah, I think so.
In the back four with, I mean, what would you think? I know it's difficult to say because you're playing tonight and then Sunday. Obviously, Konsa won't play tonight because he's suspended. So
yeah.
Presumably it's what? Cash, Konsa, and what would you think would be the other two? Will Emery factor in that they're a bigger threat from set pieces than the average team, for example?
Yeah, I would have thought so. But I don't know if Torres or Longley, you would say, is better at dealing with those set pieces.
Could he do both? Like Torres at left back?
We haven't seen it.
That's a bit of a slap to Moreno and Dean when they're both fit, I guess.
Yeah. No, I think it's more likely to be a back four with Longley back on the bench.
You think Torres would probably play?
Yeah.
And
if he's
left
fit.
Left back, Moreno versus Dean at the moment is complicated.
You got a coin. Yeah, you got a coin I can flip. It does feel like that, though. I've been a big Moreno fan. And when he came back into the team, when he got fit, it was like, you know what? He is a level above Dean, attacking-wise, certainly. So it really threw me off on Sunday when he started Dean. I was convinced Moreno was going to start, and he didn't. So I'm back to square one. Your guess is good.
We also, again, could that be an influence of something because of the way you set up differently?
Yeah, potentially. Dean's probably more solid defensively. So with that back five, maybe that suited him more. Although looking at the average positions, Dean was well forward on Sunday when we had the ball.
Yeah, Maitland is actually, to play left wing back is pretty suitable for both.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, neither of them are particularly defensive minded.
Do you fancy yourself for a clean sheet, Sunday, Lee?
No, I don't think so. I think there's going to be goals in it.
Okay. Chris, do you fancy yourselves for a clean sheet on Sunday?
I don't fancy us for a clean sheet any game.
Okay. Duly noted. Okay. I'm interested then, Lee, to know your free hitting. It's going to be free Villa, I take it. Or is it not? No.
Well, it's three Villa in the squad, but not in the 11. Just Watkins in the 11 at the moment for me.
Just Watkins, that's it.
Yeah, it's a bit of a coin toss, though, in terms of my fourth mid, whether it's Gibbs White or Bailey. But yeah, just Watkins, no Villa defensive, no West Ham defensive.
What's the debate for you on those two then, Gibbs White and Bailey? What's concerning? Is it you looking at Luton defensively, again, kind of off of last night's result against Bournemouth, and Bailey returns more frequently, let's say, at home rather than away?
Yeah. And do we think Gibbs White's got pens? Maybe. Yeah, I think it's a coin flip between those two, but the rest of my 11's pretty set, I think. Interestingly, I drafted my free hit on Saturday straight after the deadline, and then all the content creators have copied my team. It's outrageous.
All right, Lee, you don't want to be a content creator because you just get abuse, mate. So I wouldn't go shouting about that. Chris, interestingly, I guess this is relative to Lee's decision. It will be for others. What's the status on Emerson at the moment? Do we know?
No, not how long he's going to be out for. I mean, I don't think it was serious. It was a groin, but those things can be a little bit problematic. I think if he's close enough to fitness, then he'll play him tonight. That could mean he might not play at the weekend. Okay. So that's the risk. It depends whether it is just okay. It was just very precautionary. But then you've got to think Emerson, before he'd come to West Ham, this season more so than last, he wasn't playing every week. And he's, you know, now he's playing twice a week in some
he's
cases.
He's had a good season, Chris, no? It's been one of the better players, I feel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I mean more in terms of his game time, you know, because obviously that's an effect on the body, isn't it? Because you're increasing the workload, and groin injuries are classic sort of overuse injuries, aren't they? So I think there's an element of that. I don't know how long he's going to be out for.
If he was ruled out for both, do you think Cresswell would play tonight and Sunday? Or could he use someone like Ben Johnson at left back?
He could do. I mean, Cresswell is a bit of a liability in Europe for us, in the big games at least. So, yes, I think he could. I think he still could use him twice. Johnson, there's other things going on with his contract as well, so that's coming into play.
My thinking on the left-back situation for you is, and you kind of nailed it on the head, is kind of where I was leading to with the question. You said Cresswell has been a bit of a liability for you in Europe. He might be a bit of a liability against Bailey on Sunday.
Yeah, and there's this thing with him. It's funny because 2 years ago, he looked dead in the water in terms of he had no future. But I think whatever he's done, whether it's Moyes doing something or him making a slight adjustment, yeah, he's not the paciest, but I think he's got a bit, whether it's know-how or he's being positioned somewhere different, I don't think he's a liability in that sense. It's more that he'll give away a free kick or he'll get a yellow card or a red card or something, and he'll do something at the wrong moment. But he's not, I wouldn't be worried about him in the league as much. I think it's more just in Europe because you see it with a lot of the English teams, don't you, or the British teams, they get penalised more. They're just not as smart when it comes to the refereeing. And the refereeing is slightly different in Europe than it is in the Premier League.
It is definitely different.
Has Emerson started twice a week most of the season then? Like if he starts tonight, are we then expecting him not to start Sunday?
He has been normally, yeah. He has been playing in most of the games, mainly because there isn't anyone else. But him with Paqueta, when Paqueta's there, he's a bit of a beast. You know, he links up so well with Paqueta. They seem to have such a good understanding, and he seems to revel in it.
Yeah. So if Emerson gets injured tonight, Bailey on free hit is on.
Yeah. I mean, he'll certainly get past Cresswell a few times. Put it that way. Cresswell's bound to foul him at some point and probably get a yellow card. So that puts a different dimension. I mean, there is Ben Johnson, but as I say, he would be the better choice, but I'm not sure with him because of the fact that his contract, he's not signing a new contract. So there's a little bit of a sort of stuff going on there.
I think if Emerson's out, that's got to make Bailey more attractive for Sunday, particularly the free kick crowd. There's something there and you go, right, well, I can take an isolated example here where I go, this works for me for 1 week and go, mm-hmm. I mean, I've been on him for months, Lee. He's been, it's been outstanding.
I think as FPL managers, we often fixate on, is he nailed? Is he going to start every week? But when you've got someone like Bailey, that even when he doesn't start, he's coming on for half an hour against tired legs. It doesn't matter if he's starting or not. He's getting returns, whether he starts or not.
I suppose there's the element of that as well. And we shouldn't think of this beyond possibility, but obviously both teams could go to extra time tonight. Yeah. Certainly not inconceivable in either tie. And I guess that's going to have, if it should happen, that's going to have a big impact. But Bailey wouldn't play 120, I'm guessing, Lee. He normally comes off sort of 75, 80, doesn't he, anyway?
There's no way he's playing 120.
No. So then if it did go to extra time, he's probably, even if he plays 75, 80 tonight, he probably starts again Sunday, I would have thought.
Yeah. I wouldn't be concerned about Bailey not starting now.
Yeah, that's probably more likely to probably bother someone in the midfield area or something, though. But as kind of alluded to, you're a bit light there essentially at the moment. Mm. Do you think Iroquinen will start on Sunday? And obviously McGinn's available tonight.
As long as he's fit, I think he'll probably start tonight and Sunday.
Oh, you think he'll start tonight as well?
Yeah.
That's interesting. In place of who? Will he just shoving McGinn out to a wide area again?
Yeah, in place of McGinn.
Is that to give him the time to see him play with Louise?
I think so. I think Emery trusts Iroquinen. He's been really complimentary of him in press conferences for a while now. And we have seen him come off the bench 3 or 4 times.
What do you think the impact of Louise playing with him for the next few games is? Because that's a regular debate that we've had for a number of weeks now, sort of Bailey or Louise. What's your thoughts on that at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, we had Kamara was obviously, well, still is out, but when he was originally out, it was like, oh, is that going to be bad for Louise? Louise seems to find a way to get forward, no matter who's missing from that midfield, those late runs into the box. And he's proved he's a really good finisher this season, so I wouldn't be too concerned about Louise from a FPL position. And he's still got penalties as well to fall back on.
Goals, if you're free assists, hitting this week, though, Bailey or Louise, if you were going for one?
Bailey.
Because? Bailey,
just bigger upside. If you say one of them's going to score a brace, I'd say it's more likely to be Bailey.
I take it you're looking at some West Ham as well then, Lee. Is this why there's not many Villa in there? Because you've got attacking from both teams. Is that what this is?
Yeah, only Bowen. Only Bowen, though.
Okay. Chris, is that the right call? Bowen versus Kudos?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, you get a level of consistency with Bowen. You know he's going to play majority of minutes. Wherever he's going to be, he's going to be in an attacking position. Obviously, Kudos will be in an attacking position, but I think Kudos is more affected by, will he play on the right? Will he play on the left? I think he's certainly more effective off the right. Where Bowen, he might play on the right, but he's played there and he's scored goals there. But equally, he could be playing up front. So you've got less downside risk with Bowen, but I think you've potentially got a little bit of a upside surprise with Kudos. But I'd say Bowen's a safer pick all round.
So it feels like especially with that boring, sensible pick as Bowen to me.
Yes. Yeah. You know what you're gonna get. He's gonna get some chances wherever he's, whether he's on the right, whether he's in the centre. And if you know, he's likely to score points.
I struggle to think many on free hit won't go with Jared Bowen. Just got an OOP in a game where you're both saying we expect goals. Don't know how you necessarily ignore that. And I'm not saying he's like a must buy for people, but I just think most free hitters will end up with him. Chris Such said on one of our pods this week that he thought there was going to be a process here of reintroducing Antonio to the team, which would potentially push Bowen out right. I disagree with that. What's your opinion?
It's really tough. I don't know that. If he's going to start games, he's not going to be finishing them. I don't think he's going to. He's just, I mean, what is he? 34 now, isn't he? So he doesn't have the same impact when he comes on as a sub. He's going to get used. He's going to be involved in some shape or form. But I don't think he's going to. It's going to be Antonio's back, and Antonio's our man. In terms of, you know, they'll be relying on him. I think he'll be used. He'll be used more than he gradually more than he has been. But yeah, I'm still not convinced. He's not really done a lot when I've seen him come on.
No, I just think the team is better set up now with Pakatar Kudos behind Burren. And plus, I think, as we discussed, if you're pushing James Ward-Prowse deeper to accommodate that, then you've got Ward-Prowse, Phillips, Socek, Alvarez all fighting over two spots. And it feels more like the four of them are fighting over three spots to me at the moment rather than two. That's how it feels.
Yeah, it's a little bit of kind of he has to do more. He has to do more to accommodate Antonio rather than the other way around.
Lee, very concerned quick. About James Ward-Prowse?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got memories of him scoring free kicks at Villa Park for Southampton. Yeah, and we do give away some silly free kicks.
The Luton game caused a little bit of alarm defensively.
We're not good at set pieces. Yeah, we need to be really careful and really disciplined to not give away free kicks in dangerous areas.
Does that therefore make someone like Ward-Prowse a good shout here on free hit? Or, Chris, is it just a case that the free attacking players should all be considered ahead of him? And that includes Pakatar, obviously.
It's a funny one, Ward-Prowse. He hasn't been getting the returns, really. He hasn't really... But he's that sort of player, isn't he? We know from when he's at Southampton, he can play a little bit hot and cold. He could be playing okay, but not getting anything. But, yeah, I mean... I'd say, as in terms of the attacking players, obviously you've got Kudos, Bowen, and then he has got the free kicks and the corners. So I think when you have a player who's always got that, and we do score from corners, or get chances from them at least, I think if you were going to do a free hit, I would certainly consider him.
Probably he's a bonus magnet, isn't he? If he gets a return, he's likely to walk away with double digits.
Yeah.
If you were free hitting, Chris, and I said you've got to have free West Ham then for that game on Sunday, who do you think you'd pick?
I'd probably go with those three. I'd say Kudos, Bowen, and Ward-Prowse.
Over Pakatar, yeah?
Yeah, I know Pakatar does set up a few and obviously scored recently, but I just think, again, it's a little bit of the, you've always got that level of consistency or a higher degree of chance of getting some points rather than if Pakatar might do something, he might not.
Okay. Lee, if you had to go free Villa this week and start them, Watkins plus
Bailey Louise.
Okay. It's interesting. In case everybody's not been paying attention, it's fairly obvious here. I don't bother with the defensive guys here, right?
I've got Areola, but that's just by default, you know.
No, and I think defaults, like I've got Areola, I've got Pau Torres as well. It's like, yeah, cool, great. You know, pass me my medicine and my 3 points between the two players now. It's just kind of how it feels, basically. But Lee, if you were to go for a Villa defender, and I think there's plenty that may want to, particularly maybe if West Ham have a negative result tonight, which one would you say for those free hitting?
Konsa. He'll play. He'll play. Yeah, yeah. I'd say Torres, but just because he's only coming back from injury, you never know. He could go long leg Konsa.
Konsa's suspended tonight, so he's got to be a certainty for Sunday, hasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
He brought him straight back into the team as well, didn't he, after the injury? Brought him straight in.
He brought him back before Torres. Sat one on the bench. Plus, you don't know what's going to happen. If Torres plays 120 tonight, then it's like, maybe he does bench him at the weekend.
Is there a circumstance tonight that would give you confidence to go for Moreno or Dean? Is there something there that could give you confidence to pick one of those two?
No, I don't think there is. Honestly, even if Dean plays 120 tonight, I would suspect Moreno then starts Sunday, but I wouldn't be confident enough to pick him on a free hit. I can't see either of them would play
120 because they'd use one of them as a sub.
I don't think they would.
Almost certainly.
Yeah, but even if they did, I still wouldn't be confident enough to go there over Konsa.
And Cash?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe Cash.
It's a bit more defensive with Bailey in the team, though, isn't it?
Yeah, we've seen him sit back when Bailey plays. So no, for me, it's Konsa. Just keep it simple.
I'm in complete agreement with that Konsa as well. I mean, look at the goals Arsenal scored from set pieces in the game at West Ham recently. Like, it can be there from set plays, definitely. Chris, if you had to pick a West Ham defensive player for Sunday as we stood now, not the goalkeeper, an actual defender.
Yeah, I'd probably say Soufal.
It's by default, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the centre-backs, you've got three there, and it's not a case of one of them's got to drop out because the others are better. It's a case of who's made a mistake this week and who gets brought back in. And like you say, the factor of extra time and things like that tonight will be a factor. Some uncertain, I mean, you know, they've all got negatives against them. And obviously, Mapapanas hasn't played a lot of minutes overall in the season. So for him to play two games would be tough. Zuma, the same a little bit. You know, he's don't think his legs would make it. And Aguard, I don't think he would maybe survive. So you've got, yeah, they're just to be avoided. And obviously the left-back's a little bit up and down with it, the Emerson situation.
Yeah, if we had confidence that Emerson would play, would that give you preference over Soufal? Or are we just sitting here with enough doubt to say don't do that?
Yeah, I'd say there's enough doubt. I mean, all things being equal, under normal circumstances, sort of probably there's not much between them, really, Emerson and Soufal.
Okay. Who's likely to be your keeper on free hit, Lee?
Good question. I had it up a second ago. Fleckham. Yeah.
I can't see your screen, by the way. I just knew you were tightening that long. It was the easiest one. You obviously forgot. Yeah, I think that's probably going to be the one for most, isn't it? I'm not sure I fancy any team for a clean sheet this week.
No, not particularly. That's why I've picked the defenders with the potential upside. So Reguilón, Porro, Doherty. It's the template.
I think that sort of trio, and we know Reguilón's back in training for Brentford as well. I think that sort of trio is going to be particularly popular. Who will you be captaining this weekend, Chris? Do you think?
Probably Watkins, funny enough. He's highly owned, isn't he? And he does, you know, he's as Lee might once mention, he's done all right in FPL.
top scoring player in FPL, Lee. He's probably not had as much attention as it should have. I've owned him nearly all season. He's been absolutely fantastic. But you're going to tell me you're going to captain Son, aren't you?
Very good. Are you sure you can't see my screen? I am on Son, captain.
You bit your lip when Chris was talking about Watkins. I thought, he's not going Watkins. I can see it in his face. go on, explain why. Because Watkins is going to have a big old EO this way, and to be fair, Sonny is as well. But why for you then, Son over Watkins?
Midfielder, extra point per goal.
Watkins is the highest scoring player in the game, Lee, as we've just covered.
I know. I don't think Watkins is a bad captain choice, but it just edges it for me to go Son this week. The fact that he's a midfielder and the fact that I think he's more explosive. Watkins in recent weeks has done really well in terms of getting braces and stuff, but typically Watkins will get you a goal. He hasn't got hat-trick potential, whereas Son does.
Yeah, I think it would be fair to say Watkins is more likely to return than Son. Maybe,
yeah.
But Son's more likely to hit like the 17-pointer from the weekend just gone. And so it feels a little bit like that. If you didn't have the choice of Son, this is hypothetically Son's ruled out, Watkins versus Tony, is that Watkins for you?
It's tight because Burnley are bad defensively.
Because what's interesting about it is I think weeks ago, a lot of us thought we'd get it and we'd captain Tony. But Watkins' consistency plus Son moving through the middle and returning 25 points over his last two games has changed that psyche, certainly for me. I mean, I intend to captain Sonny this weekend.
Yeah. It's worth saying as well, Watkins is in the form of his life. Since I last came on COTC before the Newcastle game, he's averaged 9 points per game over the last 7 game weeks.
And you're not going to captain him?
Well, apparently not.
How could you rank this year, Lee? Let's check.
Slightly above yours. The same as I said last time I came on.
A bit shit then, basically. Okay. Cool. Still Watkins for you, Chris, based on that conversation? Is that just the fear?
I mean, Sun does have appeal, I've got to admit, but I think it's more that at least if I go, it's that kind of thing, because I'm going to the game. If Watkins scores, at least I've got some points. If he doesn't score, then maybe we've got a result.
Yeah, I'll go to Craven Cottage. I'll have my free Tottenham, -4 for Madison, captain Sonny, and we lose 1-0 and I've lost everything, right?
Yeah, as someone I'm still going to do that.
I can feel
that as someone that had no Spurs in their team at the weekend. That was particularly painful.
Sorry, mate.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. Chris, for in terms of FPL beyond this game week, do you think it becomes a sell West Ham quite quickly afterwards? We know there'll be no doubles for you. Then it's Newcastle, Tottenham, Wolves away.
Yeah, they've got a sort of funny sort of run, haven't they? They've got Villa this week, Newcastle, Tottenham. Then they've got Wolves. I think it's Palace, and I can't think of someone that's
Fulham before Palace.
Yeah, Fulham and Palace. So you've got three okay games there.
And then you've got Liverpool, Chelsea, Man City, three of the last four as well.
They've got the best. If I didn't have any value, I think I'd get rid of pretty much straight after. I'll probably more likely get rid of after the sort of mini run that's okay, because then I don't mind losing the value. Unless something changes, I don't mind losing the value after that point.
Yeah, a fixture like Newcastle's quite interesting for you because, I mean, the shipping chances for fun, aren't they? And you think it should be ideal for Bowen, but if you look at the games that many others have got, like I'm looking at Game Week 30 without Palmer, without Salah, and thinking, okay, you might need to do something about this, James, rather than just playing Bowen at Newcastle. The interest in that.
Yeah, I mean, again, I've had him for a while, so I've got something like 0.8, 0.9 million built in, so it's... That comes into play, doesn't it, when you've got value built into a player? But maybe, I think if I got rid of it, I don't think I'd get him back.
No, that's it. I think, in a weird way, it's interesting. It almost feels, and I'm interested to get your opinion on this as well, Lee, in terms of Villa assets, it almost feels like this is the last week to invest in either team. Is this part of my reason for free hitting?
Yeah, this is part of my reason for free hitting, is all the players... Well, a lot of the players that I want this week, I don't want them next week, except for Spurs.
I think that the other really interesting thing with your assets, Lee, is if people come to a conclusion, which is subject to cut results and how 34 looks, but you could make a case that if you were free hitting in 34, you might want to free hit Watkins in at home to Bournemouth. And then for the rest of the season, what are you missing? If you wildcard in 31... and you free-hitted in 34, Watkins fixtures would be City away, Brentford at home, Arsenal away, Chelsea at home, Brighton away, Liverpool at home, Palace away. Even he becomes cuttable, maybe, doesn't he?
Maybe, but it's hard.
No, I get that. He's the highest scoring player in the game.
Yeah, if you've bought to 8 million as well, like, what are you messing with it for? Yeah, they're tough fixtures, but he's still capable of getting something in any fixture.
Yeah. I could definitely see me for front three in game week 34 of Hoyland, Watkins and Isak. But I don't want to be without Haaland around that period. And therefore, something like free hit 34 and getting rid of Watkins to get to like an Isak Hoyland mightn't be the solution. You think of getting rid of Watkins, say, in 33 when you go to Arsenal, as an example. You can use him again for 34. You miss that end bit when other teams are going to have doubles, etc. as well, and you're not. Yeah, I think it'd be an interesting decision, particularly on Watkins to make. And I think otherwise, most of the rest of the Villa, similar to the West Ham guys, they'll become expendable, won't they? Really?
Yeah, I think so.
They don't become must-sells. Like, if you've got an enabling Villa defensive, it's fine. I'm just saying, you're probably not buying new, I don't think.
No, Watkins is the man. It's him or nothing, once you get to that point in the season.
I guess with Watkins is also the psychology of that as well, is if you sell and you take that decision, obviously not now, in a few weeks... you're probably not going to go back.
No.
So that makes the commitment to sell more difficult, I think.
Mm.
I don't see it being one. Say, like, when I sold Saka a few weeks ago, I was like, yep, that's a mistake. I need to get that sorted again.
Get it back.
If that becomes, like, a mistake with Watkins, you're going to have so many other players with doubles and stuff, you're just going to end up suffering it, I think.
Yeah, and there's no week where you're going to sit there and go, oh, Sheffield United at home, I've got to get Watkins. There isn't one where you think, yeah, that's my point to go back in.
He's not. I would probably say, looking at the fixtures left, this is actually the last week where you'd even consider captaining him, I think.
Yeah.
If 34's got doubles, and it's only guaranteed to be a single for Villa, in 32, City are at Palace, Tottenham are at home to Forest, Cole Palmer's away to Sheffield United. And then final day, I mean, okay, final day, you might want to have a punt at him away to Palace, maybe, but the rest, he's never captain there, is he? And he doesn't need to be at his value, but I'm just saying, it doesn't look like he'll kill you, I don't think.
No. No.
Interesting. We'll leave it there. Good chat, gents. Very best of luck to both of you tonight, genuinely. Very best of luck to both of you. Secretly, as a Tottenham fan, secretly, yes. I want you both to win tonight. Because, Chris, I want the coefficient so it can help Lee. And Lee, I want you to be busy.
Have you got a couple of West Ham shirts, Chris, we could borrow? You could send one over to James, one over to me.
Yeah, I've always got a few of the old ones.
So you can wear one and I'll wipe my ass for the other one, mate. Let's do predictions for Sunday. Chris, go on then for Sunday.
I'll go 1-1.
Late.
1-1.
Full house. So we've spoken about goals and we're only going 1-1, all three of us. Is that
right?
It'll
be 0-0, isn't it?
Yeah, after all, it's
3-0.
I can definitely see Team of the Week having treble West Ham defence in it. Not, no. I think it's a tough call. I don't think you get beat, Lee. I'd add to that. But you're awkward, you are, Chris. You're awkward.
Very unpredictable, to say the least.
I'm going to go 1-1. Where do you think you actually finish, Chris?
Anywhere from 7th to 10th. Hoping 7th.
Okay. I mean, that still certainly puts you in contention. 7th is almost definitely probably going to be enough for Europe. So definitely still have a shot. Lee?
First. Nah, 4th. I think we'll do it. I think we'll get 4th.
But you deserve it.
Is it? If you finish 4th, you deserve it. No doubt about it. Is it inconceivable from here to finish lower than 5th?
It's not inconceivable. If we have a real dip in form and it shows that we can't cope without McGinn for 3 games and we struggle without Kamara and maybe we pick up another injury, God forbid Watkins is out. No, it's not inconceivable. It'd be incredibly disappointing, though, now to finish 6th. Whereas I think at the start of the season, most Villa fans would have taken 6th. But that's where we are.
Good luck. Genuinely, mate, I think your team's been a real credit this season. Oh, we've had a good jest. Well done, mate. You took it very well. I mean, you've been a credit this season, mate, and good luck to you for the rest of it. Just get less points than my team, though, yeah? Cool. Cheers. Brilliant. next week, Clash of the Correspondents will be, as eyes turn away from game week 29 and towards game week 30 and a herd of people that might be on wildcard, will be Chelsea against Burnley with Gary Mantle and Jack Toner. And Gary is going to explain to us why Chelsea will lose that game on Clash of Correspondents next week. Lee already knows the reason why. Don't spoil it, my friend. I'll also be back tomorrow with my Ask James stream. If you've got any questions for myself ahead of the blank, that'll be at 12 p.m. UK time on YouTube with an audio to follow. Just sees me to say thanks very much, Chris. Lee, good luck tonight and on Sunday, gents. Cue music, please. Man Child.
Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.